Real easy. Welcome to the Sportscast, January 21st, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're listening on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. Also, we're moving the Sportscast into its own channel. Check out the sportscast.net for all information where you can listen to the Sportscast. In February, you'll no longer can listen to the Sportscast on the Sling On Productions podcast channel or YouTube channel. We're doing it all in one separately so you guys can enjoy the Sportscast. And all you guys that like me and only like to hear the technology stuff, now your wish has been granted. You don't have to listen about sports. Anyways, yesterday was Championship Sunday. We might have saw the best Championship Sunday in a while. The Rams defeated the New Orleans Saints, and the New England Patriots beat the Kansas City Chiefs, both away teams, and both winning in dramatic fashion. And to join us to talk to us about it, he's not only a college football commentator, but he's also an NFL commentator. He watched both games yesterday. Mr. Justin Riley, welcome to the Sportscast.
Hey, glad to be here, man, after an amazing weekend of pro football.
Justin Riley, I have to say, which of the two games did you really enjoy the most?
To be quite honest, it had to be the latter game, man. Just so much excitement, and definitely a lot of the excitement came to us in the later part of the game. But what a way to close out a tremendous, tremendous game. Incredible showing by both teams, man. Just the hearts of these competitors cannot be denied, and they definitely kept us entertained minute by minute. I was on the edge of my seat the entire time. I felt like couldn't leave for any moment, you know, to do anything just because I know what was going to happen. You know, even having the pause button on my DVR, I felt like I still couldn't press it because I felt like I was going to miss something. It was just a dramatic show of these gladiators, man. I couldn't ask for a better Championship Sunday. I don't think that we've ever seen anything like this.
I mean, I don't think so. I mean, I was pinching myself the whole game. I was at a restaurant. It was packed. Everyone was on their feet. They were off their chairs. They were like, okay, what's going to happen next? And to be honest, you're right. This might be the best Championship Sunday in recent memory.
Oh, without a doubt, if I recall, I think this is the first time in history that you had both championships go to overtime. Is that
both
right?
Both time, yes. This is the first time ever in overtime. And you know, to be honest, you can't beat overtime.
Not at all, man. Any moments of extra football, especially when you have teams playing the way these teams did yesterday, man, more is definitely well-received.
We'll start with the latter game, Patriots and the Chiefs. The Patriots at halftime were up 14-0. And then obviously, you know, they came in, Kansas City Chiefs came back. They had 24 points in the fourth quarter and 7 points in the third quarter. You know, let's kind of recap a little bit on this. Do you think experience won this game?
I think it did, and I really felt coming into this weekend, not only in this game, but the first game, that experience was just so, so key, because you have two franchises that are fairly young. While they have shown tremendous flashes of greatness and also definitely entertaining, they just still hadn't had that playoff run or runs, I guess, plural, that these veteran-led teams had. And I feel like in the postseason, whether it's NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, what have you, the more experienced team is always going to have the edge, even if they're the away team in this case. So I felt like that the veterans were going to have the edge and be more relaxed, be more comfortable with their surroundings, and would be able to operate a lot better, a lot easier.
I totally agree. And I was, you know, when I was watching the game, I felt like Mahomes lacked that grit. he lacked that experience. He was just there, but I don't think he really knew that he was really there. And yeah, he had a great arm and everything, but it felt like the Patriots had that game from the beginning.
It's funny. I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt you.
No,
it's funny
go ahead.
You mentioned that. I was watching the game. I saw the body languages of both quarterbacks, and they were distinctly different. Tom Brady was fired up, just really passionate, and just really dialed in the entire time. You know, on that first drive when Sonny Michel scored the opening touchdown, you know, Tom Brady had nothing to do with the touchdown. It was either Sonny Michel's powerful running, but man, he was out there just going nuts. He was just fired up, just letting things fly, you know, words. And it's like he scored the touchdown himself. And it was amazing to see how jacked up he was, you know. And he was like that the entire game. But then you pan over to other sideline, you're seeing Mahomes. He didn't really seem dialed in. He wasn't fired up. He wasn't emotional. He just kind of seemed like he had this look on his face like, whatever, you know.
I have like 18 more seasons to play.
Well, yeah, it's like a no big deal, you know. This seems like a cool place to hang out today. I think I'll play a little bit of ball. It was really disappointing to see this guy, albeit very talented, very good arm, like you said. I just didn't see the tenacity that I needed to see from a quarterback who was playing for the opportunity to go to the Super Bowl.
Sammy Watkins had 114 yards. Damian Williams had 66. Tyreek Hill had 42. DeMarcus Robinson had 27. We saw a lot of Sammy Watkins for this game. Obviously, the defense for the Patriots, you would say they did a good job. I mean, they were able to contain him. I mean, I think the key was to get ahead a little bit and then hopefully maintain Mahomes. They couldn't really maintain him 100%, but how did you see the defense against the Chiefs?
Well, you really didn't see the Chiefs really do anything production-wise until the later part of the game, mainly the fourth quarter. I believe I saw a stat. I'm not going to be exact on these numbers here.
Or Tyler will get on you.
He's always going to get on me about something. Tua's greater than Herbert. Anyway, I believe it's a stat line of, like, total offense. The Patriots had either close to 500 or just over 500 to the Chiefs 290-something. Mm-hmm. That's pretty impressive, especially for a defense that was going up against a prolific offense that is quite comfortable with scoring points. They did their best to keep the Chiefs at bay for majority of the game, and they really never allowed Mahomes to get his rhythm. I mean, yes, that there were times where late in the game where the Chiefs did come alive, and Mahomes had some really good plays. Sammy Watkins was on the receiving end of a lot of those. For the game as a whole, the Patriots defense for the most part kept them in check.
Yeah, which their defense is not the best defense ever. It's not pretty. It's pretty much mediocre average players. But you know, with the Chiefs, back to the Chiefs, do you think if Kareem Hunt was playing, you think it would be a little bit different?
I don't, because I believe that they were getting some really good production out of Damian Williams, as well as some of the other key role players. So I don't feel like Kareem Hunt really made the difference. I feel like that Mahomes not really being present for the majority of the game is what really hurt them in this game. And that I think falls on his lack of experience.
Yeah, a lot of the experience happening. Of course, Belichick, you know, greatest coach of all time, had this game. I mean, it felt like a chess match last night. It really did. It felt like
a chess match, but still the control was with Belichick the entire night. And I'm going to be quite honest with you. I think the Patriots really didn't take them as serious as they should have, because the Patriots, I felt in the first half, could have really put this game out of reach in the first half if they really wanted to, but they just kind of did just enough, you know.
Yeah, they could have put more gas into the pedal.
Because they really had Kansas City on the ropes, and they had them shell-shocked. They couldn't do anything, but they never quit. They never quite would go for the kill.
Eric Berry came back for the first time in a while last night. How much of a difference did he make last night to cover Gronk?
Not much of one. And no slight on Eric Berry. I think he's probably one of the better defensive backs in the game. Probably one of the best once he's said and done to probably ever play the game. But there's a guy who's been out majority of the season due to horrific injury. And the first real meaningful time on the field is an AFC championship against Gronkowski. Gronkowski is
Gronk,
you know, he's arguably the best tight end in the game. He's going to be a matchup nightmare for anybody, even when they're 100%. So it's really unfair to see Eric Berry in his first outing back being responsible for covering that. I think from a leadership standpoint, I think it helps, but the Chiefs were just in a complete state of disarray for majority of the game until the later part.
Now, obviously, we'll be talking about the next game a little bit after in a few minutes, but the play calling, do you think the refs were a little bit shaken or they were nervous? Because there were a lot of reviews yesterday, you know, one with Edelman, you know, they weren't sure if he touched the ball. Do you think the officiating was a little bit iffy last night?
I think it was iffy in both games, and we'll get to the biggest if when we get to we get to that portion of the cast here. But there were several calls that you're sitting there scratching your head. You're like, what in the world? You know, you know, like
a lot of pass interference calls. Those are the key ones.
Well, I guess that they were just a little little nervous and wound up, because more than likely they probably got a call from their office about the previous game saying, hey, don't screw this up. Don't do anything that's going to possibly put this game in the same position as the last. And they more than likely may have even seen some of the last game and what happened. So they were probably under intense pressure with their decision making. And now there was some decision making with some calls. I'm sitting here thinking, is that really a penalty? Like when was it D Ford that slapped Tom Brady on the chest, and that was considered to be a roughing the passer penalty? That is absolutely absurd. Is that a Tom Brady rule? I'm not going to be that guy. I'm going to retract that. But I still think some of the calls were petty.
You think Edelman touched the ball?
I think he touched the ball.
Yeah, during that little punt return play.
I can't really say.
I mean, it looked like it did it, but it was very close. I thought his thumb touched it, but apparently it didn't touch him.
Right. Well, that's just one of those close calls that you're going to get, but some of the other ones were more obvious.
Now, back one more thing before we go to the next game. Reggie Ragland, a former Alabama player, was there. How'd you think he played?
I think he was probably one of the more consistent players on the defense last night. I think he played his heart out, and I think he was also trying to make up a lot for what some others weren't doing. He seemed like he was the only one who really had his head screwed on right and kind of had control of everything. And I think that really goes back to how he pretty much was prepped for moments like this, especially for playing for Coach Saban. I think that prepares him for situations like this. So he was himself, and he made very key plays. He made an interception in the end zone in the first half that wiped out another scoring opportunity for the Patriots. But I think he's probably one of the better highlights for the Kansas City defense last night.
What do the Chiefs need? Do you think the Chiefs need to improve their defense?
Absolutely. I think their defense as a whole is lacking. I think they really give up too much. I think they need to really build around Reggie Ragland. I think they need to get better up front. They need to decide what they're going to do with D Ford. I think he's a really good player, but that they really need to add some key pieces, definitely in the secondary. And you kind of wonder, or you got to ask the question, how much longer is Eric Berry going to be able to go, especially with the injuries that he sustained in recent years.
Yeah, it's quite unusual they put him back. You know, obviously, I don't know if anyone else could have, you know, guard Gronk, and maybe Eric Berry was their best chance or best hope, but it didn't really pan out 100%, but we'll see what happens. Next game, the Rams defeating the Saints 26-23. As we spoke earlier, that one call where there was a pass interference but also could be helmet-to-helmet, some people say that cost the game for the Saints.
Well, the refs were absolutely horrific in this game. There was another no-call pass interference that should have been made. You know, the Saints receivers were groped and just taken advantage of a lot of the day, but it was not being called. But it's one of those things, though, where the earlier plays, where, you know, you hate it, it makes you mad, but at that point, it wasn't stopping the game from going forward. So you kind of could shrug that off. However, that final play that we're talking about, that absolutely determined the game. It killed the drive. It killed the scoring opportunity.
The Rams could have got a first down, and they could have scored.
Well, but some may even argue, well, we don't know what would have happened. They could have gone three and out and not gone to the end zone. Well, but we also don't know what would have happened. You know, we don't know. But the opportunity for us to know was wiped out. The opportunity for the Saints to get that touchdown was wiped out. So, and if it's one of those close calls, you kind of get it, and you could probably side with the ref a little, but here there is no getting around it. I mean, it was blatant, you know. I mean, it was pass interference. It was helmet to helmet. Everybody saw it. The guy even admitted after the game.
Yeah.
Great. He admitted he was wrong. But what does that do in the whole grand scheme of things? The Saints are sitting at home. The Rams are headed to the Super Bowl. And you know, I think this really needs to urge the league to make pass interference calls reviewable, especially if it's a situation where the game could be determined by a call.
Yeah, and it's interesting you say that because I was hearing that the CFL approved to challenge any type of defensive interference calls, and they did this back in 2014. Because they had a situation with at the Grey Cup, which is the equivalent to the Super Bowl for them, and they had to do it. And I'm sure during the offseason they might have that opportunity where you're able to challenge a defensive interference call.
I don't see what the need for discussion is as far as to debate it. It needs to be done. It has to be done. It's a very simple thing. Yeah, I mean, well, the thing is, I mean, it's easy. You know, the coaches, just like they have an opportunity to review a play, let it be the same thing for each half. Maybe, you know, one per half. You know, and if they get it wrong, they're charged a timeout. And it doesn't take a whole lot of science in this. So you make it happen. But the thing is, now you got people who are saying that, you know, if the Rams win the Super Bowl, you know, it's with an asterisk.
And then after,
and I couldn't agree more.
And it will go back to that play, that one play.
It does go back to that play, but I'm also going to throw something out too. And you know, some people may even get mad at me for saying this. You know, I can be objective because I don't have a dog in the fight. My team got put out the first weekend, not bitter. But the Saints, much like the Patriots, you know, from what we discussed previously, the Saints had an opportunity to shut that game down early.
Right.
Because they had the Rams on the ropes. They had them shell-shot. They didn't know which way was up. But instead of touchdowns, the, you know, they're getting field goals. You know, they're just kind of meddling around. And I don't see how you don't get the job done when you got the distinct advantage going into this game. You're in your home turf, man. They should have been up 21-0, but they didn't.
Yeah, it's so, you know, one of those things. Same thing for the Patriots. They could have led more than 14 points after the half.
They really could have, but the Patriots were able to overcome, you know, that, and they were able to beat the Patriots. But they also didn't have the help of referees either that determined the outcome of a game.
Jared Goff had 297 yards, and surprisingly, C.J. Anderson had 44 yards. Gurley only had 10. Do you think Todd Gurley was hurt yesterday, or do you think they're saving him up for the Super Bowl?
I think that he hasn't quite healed. I think he's still a little banged up because he really was held in check for the entire game. He had that one touchdown, but, I mean, that was, you know,
was
he
easy.
Wasn't too – it was pretty easy. I mean, he wasn't too far from going in anyway. I mean, you know, we could have against with that kind of offensive line, but C.J. Anderson really was the load carrier and really had more explosive plays and more difference making plays than Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley pretty much was taken out, and he was making mistakes that isn't typical of him. So I got to think that he isn't quite 100%.
Do you think Jared Goff is the quarterback of the future, a future Tom Brady?
Man, that is a hard title to live up to. I think he's one of the finer quarterbacks in the game, one of the up-and-comers right now. I think he's going to be good, and if he continues to have the right players around him and continues to have the coaching staff who can continue to develop his craft like they have, then he's going to continue to ascend. I would be very reluctant to call him the next Tom Brady.
Yeah, I know it's a tough title to live up to. He has plenty of time ahead of him. Let's go look at the Saints. Your boy Mark Ingram, he had 31 yards. He had more than Alvin Kamara. How'd you think about his performance?
Well, I think he did good in spurts, but I really do feel like going up against that defensive line with Ndamukong Suh and Donald,
wow.
I mean, that's just tough.
How much is that worth, those two guys?
Man, jeez. But it's a headache, brother. And Ingram does have some good plays in spurts. Kamara was held in check rushing-wise, but I believe he had either in the neighborhood close to 100 or over 100 yards receiving. So he was very effective, you know, as a catcher. But for the most part, the Saints game, ground game was neutralized, which I kind of felt like that was going to happen just going up against this tough front of the Rams.
Yeah, they did really stop the running game. I mean, Mark Ingram just had 31. Alvin only had 15. It's quite impressive. Who do you think is better, Aaron Donald or Khalil Mack?
Well, right now, I mean, Aaron Donald has just been doing things that are just off the charts, man. And he's being proven to be a guy that is virtually unstoppable because he's been consistent with it. Khalil Mack is a very, very good linebacker. And at the rate he's going now, especially that he's actually with a good team, he's out of that stink hole that is Oakland. I think he's going to get better.
The black hole.
It's a vacuous black hole that destroys everything that is good.
Him and Amari have been resurrected.
Absolutely, brother. All it took was just getting him out of that situation. The good thing about Donald is he's been fortunate enough to be with a good team for a good time now, whereas Khalil Mack has not. So and being on bad teams can really take a toll on you.
Oh yeah.
So you got to ask the question: just how much of a toll has it taken on Khalil Mack? I think that he has tremendous upside, and if they continue to put around him the pieces that are going to help him get better, he's going to be quite a force for years to come.
Drew Brees. Obviously, this was a good opportunity for him to win another Super Bowl. do you think he needs to win one more to have a good legacy?
I think his legacy is already cemented, but I just think from a fan standpoint, you want to see him get there one more time because we really don't know how much longer Drew is going to do this. I believe he's 40 years old now. Yeah, he just turned 40 years old here recently. And, you know, that's just tremendous testament of just how good of a player he is. He's been in the game for this long. He avoided major injury. He has just endured the test of time and the physicality of the game. And he's also had the benefit of having some great protection, too, and some great players to take the relief off of him. But you kind of wonder, you know, how much longer is he going to play? How much longer is he going to stay healthy? And, you know, how many more opportunities is he going to have to get to a Super Bowl? I believe in the offseason, you know, some contracts are going to be up. I believe Mark Ingram's contract will be up, so there's going to be some negotiations being done there on whether or not to keep him around. And there is, you know, in the NFL, you have turnover, so you can't always keep key players in the same place for a long time, unless you're the Patriots. But you just kind of wonder, you know, how many more opportunities is he going to get?
Yeah, Drew Brees definitely. I've heard that he'll be coming back next season. That is the word in the locker room. So we'll definitely see more Drew Brees. I think he hasn't peaked. He really looked good this past year. So I don't see him slowing down any moment. He could pull a Tom Brady and playing to his mid 40s if that is the plan that Tom Brady has. But the Rams look like a complete team. I don't want to get into predictions for Super Bowl. We'll just have to wait till next week. But I really do think that the Rams have a complete team. They got a good defensive line, a great offensive line, running back, good quarterback, good receivers. It feels complete, doesn't it?
I think it's getting there. But to be honest with you, I'm gonna go out on a limb say that they really need a great linebacker to really complete that defense.
Wow!
I think they need a big name guy.
Like Raglan.
Absolutely.
Or Eric Berry. No kidding.
Well, no, Eric Berry. I mean, they've got some talented linebackers. They got some guys who are great role players. I think Mark Barron is a really good role player for that team. I think he's a good player, very athletic player who has actually transitioned very well from being a safety for the majority of his career, both in college and the pros, to when called upon being a linebacker. I think he's done pretty well with that. But they really need that general there.
That one piece.
You know, that guy who's really going to lead that defense. And I think that if you have someone like a Khalil Mack, I think that does get it done.
That would be icing on the cake.
It'd be icing on the cake, but that's just my thought. I think they need that solid linebacker to complete that force that they have.
Speaking about the Bears, I've been hearing rumors that Kareem Hunt might be going to Chicago.
Maybe so, but then again, you know, do you really want to take a chance on him with this situation looming above?
I mean, you know, like what
from an athletic standpoint, he's one of the better running backs in the game right now. He's a young guy. He's up and comer. He's done some amazing things, but that's paper, man. The outside stuff is just so big. And the thing is, can you really look past it? And then if you bring him on board, do you really want to suffer the potential fallback from the outside of the organization coming at you? Because it could really hurt the bottom line, you know, as far as getting butts in seats.
Yeah, and also, you know, what makes him different from the Ray Rice is the age. He's so young.
Well, I think it's kind of the same situation regardless of age, you know, but just players put themselves in dumb situations that could be avoided. It's ridiculous at any age, man. They, I will say this, they know better. You know, regardless of what the situation is.
Don't go to Vegas.
What now?
Don't go to Vegas.
Don't go to Vegas. Well, if that's what's going to put you in a bad situation, yeah, absolutely don't do it. You know, majority of these guys, they have common sense for the most part. They have had college experience, some with degrees. So that tells me they're smart enough to know what's good, what's bad, what's going to potentially be disastrous, and whatnot. And they know at that moment, you know, what the right thing to do is. You know, so what if by bailing you look bad to your boys? You know what? Yeah, who cares? You know, in the long run, if you make the right decision, you still got a great career.
Totally.
And you also had that payday.
Yeah.
We're getting off topic.
Yeah, that definitely is one of the things. Kareem Hunt, he's only in his early 20s. I think he's only 23. So, you know, why just, you know, mess up your life and get it early? I mean, you're going to miss that paycheck. But anyways, we're going to transition to college football. Alabama has been losing some coaches and some players and transfers declaring for the draft. What are your thoughts about this?
As far as the players declaring for the draft, and you know, you kind of knew that was going to be coming. I believe that we have the most in Alabama history leaving. It's 7. Some of those guys I'm looking at, you know, like Josh Jacobs, it's a no-brainer, man. He's already predicted to be possibly like a top 5 pick. In some are saying top 10. Some people are predicting that he goes to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which would be great for Bruce Arians. And I think that Bruce Arians' mindset is going to work well with, if he were to draft Josh, is going to work well with his skill set. And I think that of any of the coaches out there, he would make the most out of him and potentially make him a star in the league. So that I do agree with. Some others, like Jonah Williams, he's going to be a top 5 pick. You know, there's no reason for him to come back. But you see some players like Deontay Thompson, who for the majority of the season was playing like he was a top-graded pick. But towards the latter part of the season, his production started dropping off. And he at times was playing out of position, you know, and making some bad choices and was beaten sometimes. Like with Rambo in the playoff game, and he didn't really make a case for himself against Clemson either, but he's still regarded as the number one safety in the draft. Where that puts him, I don't know, but he could possibly move down to the second round, maybe in the third. I really feel like he would have benefited by coming back an extra season. Another person leaving that I felt like would have been better off coming back, and that was Mack Wilson. I think he's a tremendous player. I think that he has a tremendous upside. I think that he could be one of the better linebackers in the game. But this season, I didn't really see the production that I wanted to see out of him. I didn't really see him get to that next tier. I didn't see him, I guess, having the same kind of season that Quinnen Williams did. And that's what I was expecting from him. There were times during games where you're sitting there looking around and you forget he's there. And you're asking, where's Mack? And I forgot to be a first round with me being comfortable with him leaving. I didn't need to be feeling that way. Anthony James is coming back, which is incredible. I think he's going to be a first round pick and possibly one of the better players in his position to play the game once he gets to the NFL. But obviously he has some things to work on. I would have agreed to him going before Mack Wilson going, if that makes sense. But Mack should have come back and fine-tuned his craft and been more explosive and more dominant. Another guy I'm kind of shaking my head at was Savion Smith. Junior college transfer, played his first season and only season at Alabama this season. While he has a tremendous upside athletically, which a lot of people are harping on, he was burned quite often. And against Clemson, he gave up the most yards in the passing game. So I don't understand, you know, why. Some teams, which it happens a lot, will draft him based on his potential and on his athleticism, which is a lot of times can burn you. I feel like he needed to come back, but he's not. So, you know, best of luck to him. I hope he does well. But he should have been coming back.
Also, another one, Alabama offensive line Richie Pettibon is going to be transferring to the Big Ten.
He is. And, you know, coming out of high school, I believe he was a top offensive lineman coming out of the D.C. area. And he was also one of the more highly rated offensive linemen in that class. And but the thing is, once he got to Alabama, he really never could, you know, get going, primarily because of injury. And because of constant battle with injury, he got lost in the shuffle, and he lost his starting position, or presumed star position, to some other players. So it's understandable that he wants to leave. He's going to be going to Illinois. And he also has the potential to be playing with his younger brother, who is actually being pursued by Illinois right now. So that makes sense. I get it. But unfortunately for the young man, he just never could, you know, quite get going for Alabama. And we really didn't see what he could have done because of injury.
And the biggest transfer of all, Jalen Hurts to Oklahoma. Are you happy for him going there? Do you think it'd be a good spot for him?
Absolutely ecstatic for him. I think that decision makes the most sense out of any other schools that were being discussed. I couldn't think of a better situation. He's going to Oklahoma, where he'll be in a position right away to compete for a conference championship. Not only a conference championship, but a playoff spot. And he's going to have tremendous weapons around him. CeeDee Lamb, Trey Sermon, Rambo. He's going to have a lot of good players in place. And also, too, he's going to have one of the better offensive minds and developers in Lincoln Riley. So I couldn't think of a better place for him to be. And plus, he's going to be in the Big 12, which will allow him to showcase his talents a lot better, just because Big 12 just doesn't have any defense.
It's high offense.
So
you think they're able to make it to the playoffs?
I think that they have a better chance than a lot of people going in, just because they're going to be the big dog coming back in the Big 12, with the exception of Texas. Texas, on paper now, right now, looks like they're going to be a contender in the Big 12 as well. But can they live up to that hype? You know, can they take that next step that they presumably took in the Sugar Bowl by beating Georgia? And it remains to be seen. But, you know, Oklahoma is a team that's more consistent. They've been there for years, and so you can't really bet against them. Now they got Jalen Hurts. It definitely makes a strong case for them. And I'm going to go on a limb and say, barring injury or something crazy, Jalen Hurts will be a finalist for the Heisman.
Wow, that is a big, bold statement.
I made big, bold statements, so I went to Alabama.
Another news.
Where legends are made.
Another news, Steve Sarkisian is back with the Tide. What are your thoughts about that?
I'm still trying to process it, to be honest with you. I wasn't expecting it. I'm going to say that, and I think a lot of people weren't expecting it.
Why is that? I mean, you had a bad history with Alabama, or, you know.
Well, not necessarily with Alabama. He does have a lot of baggage, you know, from USC and then and other places. He came to us as an analyst in the Saban reparation program, you know, to get himself back together. Lane Kiffin exits. He's brought in to make the calls in the national championship game. As soon as the game's over, he's promoted to OC. bolts the next week for the Atlanta Falcons, gets fired from the Falcons.
I remember that.
So,
mixed feelings there.
You know, it's mixed.
But to be honest, I think Alabama lost a lot of coaches. It feels like, well, bring someone back that knows the system.
Well, you kind of go ask the question, is it that Saban believes that the guy's still one of the better offensive minds in the game and he still got it? Does he feel like that Sarkisian has left the baggage? Or is it more because of the mass exodus of coaches, a desperation hire?
Right. Well, we'll find out what happened. Josh Gattis left to become the offensive coordinator at Michigan. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I understand it. I mean, it's an upward move. I can't blame the guy for going. You know, he was actually called the last minute, you know, by Harbaugh, asking him to go to one of the better programs in the country right now. I mean, how do you turn that down? How do you turn down, you know, that as opposed to staying back and being, you know, receivers coach at Alabama?
Why do you think all these coaches changes? Do you think it's something that Nick Saban did purposely just to clean house, or you think it just happened all of a sudden?
Well, there's been a high turnover rate, the coach position at Alabama here, you know, since Saban was there. And that has a lot to do primarily with the success of Alabama. Right. You know, if you hire a coach from Alabama, I mean, it's the hot thing to do. You know, they're winning championships. They're sending people to the NFL.
It's the hottest job positions in the country.
Right. So you're seeing that, and you think, you know, if you jump on board and get one of these puzzle pieces, that it may prove to be a great gamble and translate great for your school. But then also, too, Nick Saban is very demanding, and that's putting it mildly. And I believe he's going to probably drive some people off that, you know, isn't going to fall in line with what he wants to have done there. But you start to ask the question, you know, what exactly is going on, especially when you have guys making lateral moves here. And what kind of effect is it going to start to have long term for Alabama, especially for recruiting? You know, I think if they're able to bounce back and show no effects of that and show that the staff as a whole, the cohesive unit, it's no big deal. You know, it's something that you just kind of chalk up. Hey, it happened. At the end of the day, it's a job. People making moves for various reasons, whatever they may be. And definitely Alabama's making the case for themselves to do better by hiring Sinceri for the defense as defensive coordinator. I think he's one of the more brilliant defensive minds out there right now. Tremendous, tremendous hire for us. But I'm just curious to see where we go from here. And are we going to be cohesive? You know, and is there a way for us to possibly follow the same mold of Clemson where we're able to retain our coaches as a whole, or for the most part, regardless of what's being thrown at them.
Yeah, with just how Clemson's doing it, they're really retaining these coaches, and these coaches could leave to, you know, better jobs.
Well, there's no question about that, man. I mean, Venables, man. I mean,
he's one of them.
Probably could. He's one of those guys that they probably could have had his pick of what he wanted, but he's not leaving, and that speaks volumes.
One more coach is Dan Enos going to Miami. He was supposed to be the replacement for Mike Locksley for the offensive coordinator for Alabama. Was that a big loss, one of the biggest?
What now?
Or not really.
Well, I think it's a loss for us because – out of the entire tenure of Saban being there, I have not seen a coordinator or a position coach develop quarterbacks as well as Dan Enos did.
He's the man.
What he's been able to do with Jalen Hurts is tremendous.
Especially him.
You know, what he's been able to do with Tua Tagovailoa has been nothing short of amazing. Of course, Tagovailoa brought a lot to the table anyway.
Yeah. He didn't even, you know, need much coaching there.
No, but you would like to have seen just what he could have done with another season of Tagovailoa, but also having control of the entire offense.
Yeah.
I think it's a blow, and when I hear about it, it kind of felt like a punch in the gut. So you kind of got to –
That was a big one. I think that was the biggest one.
It's huge, and, man –
It's okay, Justin. We got him. Miami.
Well, I'm just saying
it.
What I'm saying. Well, I'm glad. I'm glad Miami's looking pretty, but we got Sarkisian.
Not much of a good trade-off, you know, wasn't it?
No, it's not. I mean, and I could be wrong. You know, I could be wrong, completely wrong.
I mean, we haven't seen Sarkisian in his highest level
a whole
yet.
Lot when he was at Arkansas.
You know,
but. But I think that's mainly because of what he was given there to work with. So I can't hold it against him. But the thing is, in my mind, Eno's greater than Sarkisian.
Well, obviously, we've been hearing those rumblings after the day after the national championship that there was going to be a lot of coaches leaving, and that was the case. We don't know if it was Nick Saban said, okay, that's it. We're starting from scratch. This could be a smart move and maybe a genius move. We'll see what happens. Nick Saban's there. You know, that's the most important coach.
And so is Scott Cochran, our strength coach.
Yeah.
But, you know, you just made a very, very big statement there. Saban is there.
Yeah.
You know, until proven otherwise, you got to trust the process. And I know everybody is probably tired of hearing that and don't want to have that as the reason to feel better. But I mean, you got to trust the process. Until Saban has proven that he's off his game or he's declining, you got to trust him. You got to trust what he's going to do and the decisions he's going to make and where we'll go from there. So
yeah, besides the national championship, he had one heck of a season last season. It wasn't like he lost his mojo. Not at all. You know, and
no, not at all. And you know, the thing is, even the greatest coaches, as proven by the national championship game, are going to have that game or games. You know,
Saban still has five championships.
Yeah, what now?
He still has five championships under his belt.
Yeah, he has six.
Six. There you go.
Yeah,
more than we
thought. Five with Bama, one with LSU. But you know, even the greatest are going to get bested. You know, it's just part of the game. I mean, there's going to be some times where he's off. You know, I mean, even Belichick has been bested, and the Patriots didn't make it or they didn't win the Super Bowl. But you know, they're right back into the conversation the very next season, and because of the saving factor, Alabama's always going to be in the conversation for the playoffs and the national championship season after season.
Yeah, and, you know, back to Bill Belichick, I mean, he has had several assistant coaches that come and go, you know, go to different. And to be honest, most of those assistant coaches don't pan out to be good coaches after all. Bill Belichick coached that team. He's pretty much the offensive coordinator and the defensive coordinator. And we could definitely, you know, we could say that maybe Nick Saban is the same way.
I think you really can say that. You know, until proven otherwise. I think that, you know, just like with the Patriots, you know, Belichick is the one constant. You have a carousel of coaches, you know, departing. But he's able to still, you know, get right back on the same page as he normally does, same script. He doesn't have any setbacks, you know. He always manages to still get it done, you know, even though, you know, this season there were some doubts, but you can never count the Patriots out because of Bill Belichick, because of Tom Brady.
Yeah, and we don't know if...
You know, with Nick Saban, you know, same thing's going to be sad, you know. He has been on top year after year after year after year, and he's had people leave. So you got to give him the benefit of the doubt for that very reason.
It's quite common. But anyways, Alabama is still looking good. They still have the top recruiting class in the nation, and they're going to march in. Sarkisian might be the smartest move that Nick Saban's ever done. Who knows? But we'll see. College football news will continue. Still, I think most of the players have declared. There could be a few flips here and there, but Alabama is still number one in the recruiting class. Anything else before we head into predictions?
One thing I wanted to talk about a couple of weeks ago that I didn't get a chance to address, and that was for those of us who grew up in the 80s and 90s, lost an icon that we had as a fixture in our lives for the majority of our days growing up, and that was Mean Gene Oakland from the WWF days and WCW, and then later on came back to WWE. Tremendous personality on TV, probably one of the biggest personalities in the wrestling world ever that was not a wrestler. It was truly hard to see somebody like that that you grew up with and that you look forward to seeing finally be called home. That was big.
Great wrestler. Justin is a big wrestling fan. We'll probably talk wrestling throughout the sportscast throughout the year, maybe some WrestleMania predictions, things like that. But
hey, you know, if there are listeners right now, if that's something that y'all be interested in possibly adding as another option to discussions we have, you know, please voice that. Certainly the WWE is still fairly big. And there's a lot of fans out there, so you know we like to think that we appeal to every fan base out there, and however we can get listeners, you know, I'm all for it. So if that's something that y'all would like to see going forward, you know, voice it.
Especially during the off season, did you see the Pacquiao fight on Saturday?
Did not see it, man. I feel like that I should have my sports card withdrawn because I didn't see it. So you have to fill me in on that.
Yeah, I actually really did not see the fight, but I heard Pacquiao won, and I think he injured his eye that might end his career.
Well, to be honest with you, it's about time for Pacquiao to exit. And I hope that doesn't come across harsh for Pacquiao fans. I'm a fan of Pacquiao. I think he's one of the finer boxers the sport has seen. But he is in the later stages of his career, and this you don't want to see him continue to fight fights and have his legacy tarnished a little bit, and you definitely don't want to see him go out in a bad way. So I think at this point, you know, he's proven all he could prove, and I think with this victory, you know, just go out on top. You've done what you have to do, brother, and you know, you've brought a lot to the boxing world, especially during a time where boxing is being overshadowed by the UFC. He's been one of the few people who've been able to keep boxing relevant and have been able to draw an audience. So what he's been able to accomplish has been really amazing.
And there you have it. We got the sportscast going, boxing. Let's head into predictions. I only have one game to predict. Are you ready?
We do.
The Golden State Warriors at the Lakers.
Yeah. You go right to my team, man.
I think LeBron is not playing tonight either.
Yeah, and the Lakers have got to get him back. You know, they got some young guys who are tremendously talented. And they are really showing flashes of being something special, but they haven't quite made it there yet. I think LeBron has helped propel them a little bit further forward than where they were previously. But they really need their general to come back to guide them and to lead them. The Lakers were able to best the Warriors some weeks back in quite convincing fashion. So the Warriors are going to be looking to avenge that embarrassing loss. And the Warriors are only going to get better from here, especially with having Cousins back in the lineup, and he came back in a thunderous way the other night, which I think that the Lakers, playing as well as they can without LeBron, I just don't think it's going to be enough. I think LeBron is a key component right now, and I hope he returns soon. Because as the weeks go by, man, position is going to be very, very key as we approach the playoffs. But tonight, I think it's the Golden State Warriors are going to come away with the victory.
The Warriors keep continuing to win. And random question of the day, it's National Hug Day. So do you hug or handshake?
I give them a pound, man. I'm a germaphobe. I'm a germaphobe.
Oh, no wonder.
I'm kidding. No, I'm just kidding. I hug. I was raised in the South where everybody hugged everybody. It doesn't matter if they were family, friend. You just met them. It's just one of those things that was ingrained to you growing up, especially growing up in the Baptist church. You know, that we don't shake hands. We hug. We also don't dance either.
There you have it, guys.
But yeah, hug. You know, I'm a sentimental guy. And, you know, I don't think my man card is in jeopardy because I give a hug.
Well, on National Hug Day, Justin hugs, and maybe after that, outside of that, Justin, how can people reach you to talk to you about the Super Bowl?
Talk to me about the Super Bowl. Well, I believe you can talk to me through our site now. Am I correct?
You could, but I guess they want to contact you directly.
Man, come on, you need to make something happen now. I need my own little corner there, you know, I need my Justin Maniacs, you know, ready to interact, man. No, in all seriousness, if you want to contact me, find me at 121 Training. That's number 12, one spelled out, training@gmail.com. And then you can also find me on Facebook, /121Training, on Twitter and Instagram, @121Training. Pretty simple. You can talk to me about the Super Bowl, Alabama, recruiting, departure.
Steve Sarkisian.
What now?
Steve Sarkisian.
Steve Sarkisian. Jalen Hurts. But more importantly, guys, let me bring this up. Y'all notice when Santiago said what I do, 12-1 training. Notice the training part. Guys, it's prime time. It's resolution season. It's time to make your dreams a reality. And not just something you're thinking about doing or talking about doing, but instead have it transition from a New Year's resolution to a lifestyle change. I want to help you achieve your goals, so come talk to me. And you're going to also find that as opposed to other trainers out there, you're not going to have to take out a loan for me. So hit me up.
Justin will keep those rates really low. And you can follow us on the Sportscast on Twitter, on Facebook, on YouTube, and you could look at those links at thesportscast.net. And as I said earlier, we'll be transferring this cast into its own channel, the Sportscast itself, and Sleon Productions will be mostly technology and I guess the devotional cast, which that hasn't been produced as much, but we'll definitely keep you guys in the loop. But February, the Sportscast will be on its own channels, and that'll be great for all of us. The Sportscast will go on throughout the basketball season. You know, basketball, I mean, right after the Super Bowl, we head into, you know, basketball with the All-Star Game, March Madness, and, of course, the NBA playoffs. And Justin will be with us throughout the basketball season. Isn't that correct?
That is absolutely correct. I got a question, though, man. Since we're making our big transition to our website, man, are we going to have, like, one of those little tribute compilation videos, you know, before we leave?
Oh, man, that's tough to edit. I don't know if I could pull that off. I got so much editing to do, but never say never, right?
Hey, man, I think the fans need that, brother. you know, fans, it's time for you to make your voice known, not just click a like button, but y'all need to let Santiago know how much you appreciate him and all his hard work, because he has done some great things for us this year. It's been an incredible experience for me. Over these past two seasons being a part of this. But having a little compilation video, man, I think we need it.
We'll see what happens. Next couple of weeks, we'll see. Sportscast is going strong. Anyways, I got to wrap it up because I have to prepare for the Super Bowl. Anyways, Justin Riley, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
I appreciate you, man. Great time as always.